Welcome to the Music Mindfully Podcast with your host, Aaliyah Elliott. This is a place where musicians come to get inspired, to conquer their fears, to overcome self-doubt, and learn to love their music and themselves a little more every day. Let's make music mindfully. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Music Mindfully Podcast. This is your host, Aaliyah Elliott, and I am so happy to welcome you to today's episode. Now, today I had this beautiful theme planned. I was all ready to talk about vulnerability and rejection and judgment. But you know what? We're going to hold that thought for just another week. So if that topic really excites you, then definitely be sure to hit that subscribe button so that you're not missing out on next week's episode. But this week, my voice and piano studio is getting ready for our first concert of the year. So because of the pandemic still raging on, we are doing a virtual recital, which is awesome. It's always really fun. And I know that it helps a lot of my young performers feel more comfortable with the idea of performing because they can always try again. You can always stop recording and do it again. But something that I've really noticed, especially over the last couple of years, is the dwindling faith that my students have in themselves. And I'm not sure if this is a pandemic-related issue or not, but there's got to be something that's changing. Because I really have just noticed in the last few years how more of my students say to me, oh, do I have to do the recital? In case you're wondering, the answer is no. I do not force anyone to perform if they do not want to, because I do not want music to be a traumatic experience. I'm very much against that. But I am very pro experience. I am definitely encouraging all of my students to try. But through the last couple of years, I have noticed that more and more and more are really feeling icky about getting up on stage, whether it's virtual or in person. And I wonder, what is that shift? What is that difference? Now, if I had to guess, I would say that, honestly, I do think the pandemic has a lot to do with it. We aren't used to connecting in the same way with other humans anymore. For almost an entire year, all of my students were doing school online. So that meant that they weren't having the same amount of interaction with other people, which meant that they were not having the same amount of experiences to embarrass themselves and realize that everything is going to be okay. Because isn't that what we're worried about? Isn't that what all of our students are worried about when it comes to performing, whether it's live or recorded? Our students are just like us. We don't want to make a fool of ourselves either. And that's why we help our students prepare and feel really good about their pieces so that when they're ready to hit that record button or step on that stage, that they feel like a rock star. But our students are feeling the exact same thing. They do not want to make a fool of themselves. And it doesn't matter how prepared they are if their minds tell them that they are going to fail. Or if they have been conditioned to know that making mistakes is not okay. This is where it gets tricky for us teachers. Because how do we help our students feel really accomplished and learn amazing new things all of the time without making them feel like the mistakes that they make along their journey are not allowed, or that they're not okay, or that they somehow make them less of a musician? The thing that I've found that works is talking about mistakes, and not talking necessarily about their mistakes, but talking about mistakes and why they are so important. In fact, there are a few students, especially my youngest ones, who are really, really timid. I'm sure you've got one of those in your studio who's just really shy, and they really don't want to do anything wrong. They've definitely got a perfectionist attitude already. You know what I do when they make a mistake? We clap, we dance, and we celebrate that they made a mistake. And then they always giggle. They're like, well, that seems so silly. I made a mistake. But by making mistakes, we learn faster. We learn so much faster from our mistakes because we don't want to make another one. So that is the way that I've been reframing mistakes in my studio to help my students feel more confident and comfortable with the learning process. They know that in my studio, mistakes are celebrated. That's amazing. But then when I ask them to play the same pieces or sing the same pieces that we've been working on for a couple of months in front of their families and their friends and the other studio members, their peers, they clam up. I'd rather not, Miss Aaliyah. I'm really nervous. I don't want to mess up. I'm totally going to mess up. So, why is it that our performers can feel so comfortable with making mistakes, right? We can condition them in the studio to know that that is part of the learning process. We can celebrate that. But then as soon as we change the audience, there is so much more anxiety and hesitation that is robbing them of enjoying the experience of sharing their beautiful music and their hard work with other people. Well, I've got a couple of ideas. The first is that, at least where I live, a lot of the feedback that parents get about their children comes from school and comes in the form of report cards and emails and parent phone calls. Now, report cards can be a wonderful thing. They can really help keep a student on track. They know what they need to keep working on. They know what they're excelling in. And that is great feedback, obviously, for a parent to have as they can continue to support their child on their learning journey. But it also creates a lot of undue stress for the child because they worry about, what is my parent going to think? If I don't get all A's or all 4s or all E's, depending on which system your school system is using, then what? If I'm not at the top of my class, what does that mean about me? Am I still worthy of love? Will I still belong? Will my parents still be proud of me? And then we have the ideas of parent emails and parent phone calls. How often do you get a phone call about your child from the school that says, I just wanted to call and let you know that Jimmy is doing an absolutely fantastic job. They've been helping out the teachers at recess, and our staff is so appreciative that they are here to help build this beautiful, vibrant school community. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing to get a call like that from your school? But unfortunately, most schools only call parents when there's a problem. So the feedback that gets to the parent is mostly negative. Now, that doesn't mean that the parent automatically assumes that their child is bad or that their child is failing. But it, again, causes so much stress for these young minds, these young performers. For our students, especially, I'm talking especially about my youngest students. I have so many in that preteen stage, which is rough to begin with. And they are already questioning who they are and how they fit in and what they need to do and if they're enough. But really, this topic applies to everyone. We all feel this deep need to belong and this deep need to be seen, to be heard, and to feel that someone is proud of us. That someone out there sees what we are doing and is so proud of us. So when it comes to a recital, how can we help these students feel safe to be vulnerable on stage in front of their families, in front of their friends, and in front of complete strangers? Well, I have to tell you, I ran into a post on one of the Facebook groups that I'm in with a whole bunch of music teachers, and I absolutely loved this idea, and I have to share it with you. Unfortunately, I cannot find the post again. I cannot remember who it was that shared this idea. So if this is you, or if you know who this is, please message me so that I can reach out to them and thank them so much for this amazing idea, because I love it. One teacher suggested that at the beginning of their recital, they were going to perform first. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of people out there who are like, yay, teachers should definitely perform. And a whole bunch of others who are like, no, this is about the students. The teacher should never perform. I'm not getting into that debate. But I will say that this idea of having the teacher perform first was super interesting, because they did one of two things. They said they switched it up. So one was they went up, they got all excited, and they sang or played the simplest piece they knew. Chopsticks. Mary Had a Little Lamb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Happy birthday. And then that causes everyone to laugh, and it lightens the spirit of the recital. Now, the other thing that they suggested was going up, playing your piece, but deliberately making massive mistakes, so that everyone would know that that is not how it is supposed to sound. And what does that do? That gives the performers the permission to do the same. Whenever my students are worried about forgetting their words or forgetting their notes on their piano as they're playing through their piece, or, you know, even simple things like forgetting to bow at the end, I always tell them the story about how when I was singing an Italian aria and I got to the B section and blanked on the words. Totally gone. No idea. So what did I do? Well, I used the words that I knew in Italian. So I used words from the A section. And I used words like spaghetti, pizza, pomodoro, and I just sort of made it all rhyme. Some of the words were definitely not words, but I made it follow-ish the structure of what I knew was supposed to be there with totally gibberish Italian. I butchered it. It was so, so bad. And I was performing this. This was not a singer's first recital. This was in the middle of my first music degree in a masterclass with my studio and another person's studio, where someone in that other studio was also singing the same piece. So obviously she knew exactly what the mistakes that I had made. My teacher and her teacher both knew. But no one else knew. And that is the joy. And I know we talk all the time to our students to keep going when we make a mistake, because chances are not very many people will notice. And actually, I should rephrase that to no one will notice. No one will notice. And even if they do, it's not the end of the world. I told them that I was really humiliated when that happened. I was embarrassed. But guess what? I still perform. I still perform. And you know what? I learned from that experience. I learned that I need to practice differently so that I can really solidify the B sections of my pieces that only get run once instead of twice in a run through. Huh, brilliant learning. And you know what? By sharing that, they realize that music doesn't have to be perfect to be valuable. Music is not about perfection. And coming from the classical tradition, I was so taught to believe that if it isn't perfect, then it's not worthy of being heard. That every note and every rhythm and every phrase marking and every dynamic needs to be there or else. But you know what? I call BS on that. Music is about sharing stories. It's about connecting, and it is about expression. And we are able to do that whether things are perfect or not. So in this week, as I'm preparing for my students' performance, I really wanted to share some of my thoughts about this topic of these poor, poor, poor children who are just feeling so nervous. I hope that this has helped you, and I hope that someday we can continue as a group of educators to break down that barrier into musical performance, be it classical or any other genre. Let's start to really, truly embrace mistakes, to take away some of those formalities that take something that we do every single day in the studio in jeans and t-shirts into this like very rigid, awkward situation for our performers. Let's help them feel their very, very, very best and their most comfortable on stage. Because after the last few years, that is exactly what our students need so that they can have beautiful, comfortable, and enjoyable experiences making music with other people and learn once again to connect to others in that very special way. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Music Mindfully Podcast. Did you have an aha moment? Did something really resonate with you? Be sure to let me know. Screenshot this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to tag me at Music Mindfully. I would also love to chat with you, so feel free to hop on into my DMs. I cannot wait to connect with you on the next episode of the Music Mindfully podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss out. Until then, go make music mindfully.